Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 161 of D&D Discussions, the podcast for players and DMs alike, where we cover a wide variety of topics to help you with your games. I'm your host, Ryan Reeder, and with me, as always, is my good buddy, Ben Bumhopper. How are you doing tonight, Ben?
I am doing pretty darn good, and I gotta say, my mind is just full of new and wondrous things that I am so ready to talk about.
Oh, I know. I'm super giddy right now. That's because I just signed up for a D&D Epic that my friendly local game store is doing.
Yay.
Which, if you don't know what that is, it's essentially a huge D&D game with a bunch of different tables, but they're all contributing to the same goal, just in different ways. And so this one in particular, it's like 6 hours, which is super cool. It's like a 6 hour long event and it's level 20.
Nice.
So it's not like a beginner game at all. They're like, come prepared, know what you're doing type thing. Right. But I am so pumped because I don't get to play very much. And
as a player,
level 20 play. Yeah. As a player, and level 20 play is just so much fun, especially with things like this that are like fully built for that.
Yeah.
So extremely excited. Extremely excited.
Well, I hope you have fun. I don't know, taking down Vecna or a Tarrasque or
it's a lich.
Tiamat or, oh, a lich.
Ooh, it's a lich. Yeah. It's a lich that has potentially found. I think the story is one of the most evil liches across all planes of existence has discovered a fragment of the legendary Karsus Avatar spell. With this forbidden magic, they believe they can siphon a portion of Mistra's divine essence to unlock the secrets of 10th and even 11th level spells.
Ooh.
Power that was never meant to exist in mortal hands. Should the Lich succeed, the consequences would reshape reality itself in the most terrible ways imaginable.
Oh yeah, that sounds like a worthy cause.
Yeah, so I'm pretty pumped. I'll be able to tell everybody about it next episode, but yeah.
Cool.
I did that literally just before we started recording, so I'm super, super pumped. I've got my character sheet. I'm going to play my level 20, my OG character, level 20 conjuration wizard.
Very nice.
Very, very excited. Very excited. But you know what else is exciting, Ben?
A whole bunch of car chases and like the Fast and Furious franchise.
Yes. My guilty pleasure movies, but yeah. Not this time.
Oh,
this time it is so many things announced at Gen Con.
Yes.
So we're going to cover all that stuff here, real fast first, starting with, something that many people have been looking forward to. They announced that Dark Sun is coming back as D&D's fifth edition's first mature rated setting, which is super interesting. So they said the book will actually come shrink wrapped because it is going to be a mature level book. Like,
yeah, two different books, actually.
Yeah, nudity, gore, language, you know, adult themes, all sorts of, like, they're going hardcore with it. So as someone who didn't play before 5th, this is going to be all new to me.
Mm-hmm.
And they released a little trailer for it, which was very violent.
there's a viewer discretion advised beforehand. And yeah, going through watching the keynotes, seeing people like, viewer discretion advised, like totally joking. Cause the first thing you see is just gore upon gore upon gore.
Which, to be fair, I hope that the setting is not just, we are ultra violent, period.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I hope there's a lot more to it. Cause it sounds like there was in the original setting. So I'm excited to see how they will adapt it as a mature setting. And hopefully, you know, doing it justice while making it modern, essentially. Right. But And if they can do that, I think it'll be very interesting. If it's just this setting equals ultra violence, that's less appealing to me, right?
Yeah, because I mean, technically any setting could just be ultra violent.
Yeah.
You know, it all depends on how the DM describes something.
Yeah. So I'm hoping for more than that. Obviously, it was a 45-second trailer. So we just don't know a whole lot about it yet. But that is going to be coming next year. Two books, like you said, Dark Sun, Blood and Power Gameplay Expansion, and Dark Sun, Edge of Oblivion Adventure Expansion.
Yep, coming so that in the will be season super of cool. Survival.
It seems appropriate. And more than likely, that will also be coming with D&D 5th Edition's second new class, the Scion,
mm-hmm.
yeah, which was playtested several months back. And I know a lot of people are super excited about that particular class.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a very popular class in earlier editions. So it's really cool. Like we've talked about this multiple times. I think you think there's tons of full on class design space still within 5e.
Oh, definitely.
So it's really good to see 5e getting more classes because you can do way more with a class than you can with a subclass.
Mm-hmm.
By virtue of what it is, right? So yeah, I'm excited for that. If nothing else, we get a brand new class.
Yes.
Super cool. Super cool. Next, and this I'm chuckling a little bit because I play a little bit of Magic. Not like super hardcore, but I have like toes dipped in to the Magic the Gathering scene. And one of the extremely, let's say, emotional response provoking things about Magic the Gathering is their Universes Beyond, which is essentially them taking Magic and using other IPs.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, Ninja Turtles, Star Trek, The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings,
Marvel.
Yeah, that was a big one.
I think I mentioned it on the show. Seeing a Spider-Man deck almost made me be like, I think I could get into this Magic thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I did not because I understand that any sort of collectible card game is crack, and I cannot very afford expensive. That.
Very expensive. I personally like the Commander game. I don't play the normal gameplay
mm-hmm.
version of it. I like the Commander version of it because it's kind of more like, let's get three or four or five friends together and just do the silliness type yeah. thing. So that's kind of how I enjoy it. But yeah, so they've got this Universes Beyond thing. Final Fantasy, they did that one. They did Warhammer 40K, like all these things, right? And then... I know some people don't like it near as much because that means they release a lot less Magic universe specific sets every year, but also apparently Universes Beyond just prints money, so why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
We're getting that for D&D.
Yes.
Now, hopefully it won't be quite the fire hose torrent. Yeah. So verdict to be determined
on how it goes. I already have my verdict.
They did. Long term.
Okay.
Like long term verdict to be determined. But they announced two settings. So they're going to have a Universes Beyond for D&D. They announced two. One is coming in November.
Mm-hmm.
And that is honestly very close to Ben and my heart. They're doing World of Warcraft D&D.
Yeah. So the tease we talked about last episode is real.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. It is real.
So here's the thing about it. And, you know, when you look at the Universes Beyond for Magic and, you know, it kind of makes sense. Okay. You're just throwing things together and, you know, it's like, hey, this is fighting this or whatever. I think that this is actually kind of more on brand with D&D since I mean, in all honesty, World of Warcraft grew out of Dungeons and Dragons mixed with like EverQuest. So, I mean, there's already classes that you choose from. There's already, you know, dungeons. There's already, you know, epic bosses. There's a bunch of different species and stuff. So I think that it is actually really kind of cool that it's being added in as, you know, just another world to explore or to play in or to, you know, pull things from, you know,
D&D WoW makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And it's just like any other campaign setting. If you don't like Ravenloft, don't get the books. If you don't like World of Warcraft, don't get the books. But they're adding some things in here from the game that I think are, it, you know, it's really cool. Like the different subclasses, there's the Oath of the Ebon Blade and Oath of the Holy for paladins, which I think that is really cool. They're adding a demon hunter version to the ranger, the shadow domain and discipline domain to the clerics, which, you know, those versions have kind of been there already, but this is going to be probably more themed to World of Warcraft. And then the Path of the Elements barbarian. But on top of that, here are some of the updated subclasses that we've actually already had in Unearthed Arcana that are also being brought in, which is the Swashbuckler Rogue, the Path to the of the Spiritual Guardian Barbarian, and also the Warrior of Mystic Brews Monk. So we're already getting things that were already touched on already into, you know, 5.5 with this expansion. I think that that is actually, you know, kind of indicative of how this is pretty much, you know, something that can fit very well into Dungeons and Dragons. And then I got to say, on top of that, I'm just excited about the 11 new species, Pandaren being one of them, which I think is just absolutely great.
Oh yeah. Like this is a pretty big book. It was confirmed that James Wyatt is leading this book and he is a huge, WoW player. Right. He played WoW for a long, long time. So, mm-hmm. Person leading the book knows about WoW. But this is going to be a huge, like a very thick book, full on gameplay expansion. So they're saying 13 World of Warcraft classes, new rules for playing all 13 World of Warcraft classes, including featuring 9 new and reimagined subclasses and 40 specializations, 16 new species, 60 new spells, 25 new magic items, including mounts and companions, 50 new monsters and 30 dungeon boss stat blocks, yeah. Which is, I'm getting it for that alone. Like that's the nostalgia is high. 7 iconic World of Warcraft dungeons reimagined for tabletop play with boss encounters worthy of the legends, which is super cool. Because that's something you could easily repurpose as a drop in.
Yeah, definitely.
In other adventures or in your homebrew stuff too. And then 20 plus factions with renowned rewards for forging your legacy across Azeroth. So this is going to be the big release for the Season of Champions in November of this year. The release is November 17th. That's the wide release for this. And they've got a really nice article that we'll link in the show notes on dndiscussions.com that breaks down like all the new stuff. Like it actually lists the dungeons, like, you know, Black Fathom Deeps, Dead Mines, Dire Maul, Onyxia's Lair, like Scarlet Monastery, like all these things are, God, pulling on my nostalgia strings.
Well, one thing too, there's also professions being added in, which is going to be a new mechanic for D&D, which I think that is actually really cool. I mean, we've already got, you know, crafting mechanics and stuff, but adding in like actual professions into it, you know, I think that it could only help to give it a little bit more structure, you know, and guidance on that, or just new stuff to do, which is also a really fun, cool thing.
Yeah. It seems like it's a gameplay expansion that very much, because World of Warcraft is very fantasy adjacent. Mm-hmm. It seems like a gameplay expansion you could very easily slot into any existing fantasy D&D campaign,
yeah,
without it feeling out of place. Especially like you said, the species, the spells, the dungeons, the bosses, the subclasses that are specific, that sort of thing. So, yeah, it's up for pre-order now. There's going to be all sorts of stuff with it. You can get super expensive packs. There's ones that, you know, have an adventure map pack. There's a new DM screen for it. There are minis, like two sets of minis, I believe, that each come with some different NPC type characters and a boss. I believe Arthas and Illidan are the two big boss characters in the minis. So yeah, they are going full scale. Like, there is a lot to it.
Yeah. And if you play World of Warcraft, you get a Black Dragon mount, a Gazer pet, a Mimic chest toy, and then also a Mimic chest decor. Because that's right, housing's in there now.
Yeah, that's true. And I did find out it does seem to be a friendly local game store collector's bundle. And I know this because I asked them and I actually pre-ordered it at my friendly local game store. So the collector's bundle from game stores does include the physical book and a D&D Beyond code in the box with it. So if you want to support your friendly local game store and get the digital side of things too, there will be an option to do that at your friendly local game store. So be sure to check that out so you can support your local store. One other thing they teased
is like the barest of a tease that there could possibly
they also announced that for the Universes Beyond, coming in 2027 for the Season of Rebellion, whenever that will be, sometime in 2027, they are going to be doing a Dungeons and Dragons and Star Wars crossover. That's another one that obviously we know it can work. Star Wars 5e exists.
Yes.
Star Wars 5e exists and is free and is really good. Like, I think we've shouted it out at least once or twice on the show before. But you can search Star Wars 5e. They've got so much content. Like, I almost feel like Wizards should just pay them and then make it just pay them and make it official. Like, boom, well, done. I mean, you have years worth.
It's always crazy. A possibility that they have, because again, we know nothing about this. The teaser at the keynote was basically the lights turned off and then you heard Darth Vader breathing and then he stood there with the lightsaber and that was it. Nothing else.
Yeah. So it's possible. It's possible.
But
in a world where Star Wars 5e exists, we know it can work.
Yeah. That just means that it'll make it easier for me to incorporate some of those thematic things into my Spelljammer game.
Yeah. Yeah. That would very much fit in a Spelljammer-esque campaign, for sure.
So we didn't mention it. So World of Warcraft will be the Season of Champions, as Ryan said, later this year. And then we have the Season of Survival. And then after that, we have another, well, not new thing, but a revisiting. It's the Season of Sword and Sorcery, which takes us to Greyhawk. Which, yes. You know, aside from what they've had in the Dungeon Master's Guide, you know, kind of giving you that little bit, we're going to be getting actually a whole new bit of, or the full length adventure in the world of, I'm going to butcher this, but Orith, I'm guessing. And it is actually created by Gary Gygax's son. He's actually going to be a big part of it. He's one of the icons that they, we'll talk about that in a minute. So Luke Gygax is kind of picking back up and going to help rebuild and, flesh out Greyhawk with more adventures and experiences and stuff during this Season of Sword and Sorcery. So we've got a whole slew of adventure and content and everything through, you know, a decent chunk of 2027 to look forward to. And
to be honest, like, this is unusual.
Yeah.
It is unusual to know this much from a roadmap perspective.
Yeah. Usually
I don't think we've ever known this far. Yeah. in advance. So they really seem to be doing a lot more in like pre-prepping stuff and then doing the Unearthed Arcana and getting stuff out early to talk about. And honestly, I like it.
Yeah, me too.
I like it a lot.
Yeah, it helps build
cool
excitement.
To know it's coming.
Like big time.
Yeah. And as Ben alluded to, one of the initiatives they announced at their Gen Con announcements is Dungeons and Dragons Icons. Icons is a new initiative that is being led by Joe Manganiello, who many people may be familiar with. Actor, huge into D&D, was on Critical Role, has Archon, he's had his character for a while. And it's going to pair legendary creators and visionaries within the D&D team to shape the future of the game. Icons will touch everything from setting guides and adventure modules to accessories and beyond, all in close collaboration with the studio. And so Greyhawk with Gary or Luke Gygax is one of those icon things. But then there's also Dragonlance with Tracy Hickman. Dragonlance is returning with co-creator Tracy Hickman working with the team to give this storied setting a new epic treatment. And then Dritz with R.A. Salvatore is also coming.
That's what got me into the world of not World of Darkness, what am I thinking? The Forgotten Realms is
Forgotten
the,
Realms,
the,
yeah.
The Crystal Tower is great. I fell in love with Dritz the same as like the dozens of thousands of hundreds of billions of people who have read those books.
Yeah. So that's super cool. Super, super cool. But that's not all of the collaborations that are coming. They also announced new studio partnerships. And this is something they haven't done for quite a while. They are going to be partnering with third-party studios to bring official D&D content to more settings. So this is basically like, hey, third party studio, you are writing an official book. Like this is real D&D book. And this is a pretty big deal because that means they want to make more content than they can make in house.
Yes.
Essentially. So they're partnering with good, third party studios. So they announced a return to Ravenloft and the Domains of Dread with Ghostfire in 2027. Ghostfire, well known for horror, and their more horror focused settings, obviously a very strong third party publisher, so that will be a big one. There will be an Eberron adventure featuring the Lord of Blades from Visionary Productions in 2028, and then a brand new Forgotten Realms content from Kobold Press, also coming in 2028. Each release will be physical and digital, and they will be announcing more partners coming soon. All three of those studios, very big in the third-party space. We've talked about Kobold Press and Ghostfire specifically several times.
Yes.
Over the years, both extremely good studios. So it's really cool that they're, I don't know if outsourcing is necessarily the word, it kind of is, but you know, some
like
official
inviting others into play,
yeah to make official books, because obviously these third-party studios make a lot of 5e content, but now they're saying you're good enough that we want you to do official books.
Yeah,
so very, very cool.
Yeah, and I mean, just going back to the icons really quick too, in the keynotes, I think it was Tracy who said that it a lot of it feels like there's a whole like new excitement and feeling in Wizards right now. Of course, they all called it TSR because that's what it was originally called. But yeah, it's the idea that like it's like, hey, you know what? This is exciting. You know, they've got a lot of, you know, new faces working on stuff, and then bringing in some of these, you know, old creators to really just, you know, dream up and beef up their creations and stuff, as well as bringing in, you know, outside publishers to really work on things, add to it and everything. This is really
new blood in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And it's kind of the best of what we asked for like years ago. You know, mm-hmm. just like the simple, oh, it'd be great if third-party stuff was on D&D Beyond. No, this is literally, we're getting a feast of content, and I am just so super excited about it. Like, this is the growth that you don't see happen in a lot of different, you know, like industries. Like, there's so much more stagnation, but with this, it does seem to be that they're really making some excellent choices to move everything forward and bring everybody along who enjoys the hobby.
Yeah, I agree. And at the end of the day too, the nice thing is you really only need 3 books
mm-hmm.
to run D&D. You only need 1 book to play D&D.
Yeah.
And so none of this stuff is required. And that's the cool thing, is that we have had, especially in the changeover to 5.5, there's definitely been a little bit of a content drought. We haven't gotten a whole lot. And so this is very much seems like we're making up for lost time. And it's one of those things where more is good because you can still choose what you want. And at the end of the day, you just need that 1 or those 3 books to play.
Yeah.
So it's different than like Magic the Gathering, where like if you're missing XYZ card or something, your deck sucks or you can't do this or that, right? You don't know. D&D is not quite like that. And so I, at this point, at least, I'd say more content is better.
Yeah,
because it gives more choice. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And speaking of that.
Yeah. Speaking of choice,
we've been talking about this for a while, but they did a really, big thing on D&D Beyond.
Yeah.
First off, they're updating, they're looking for group feature, on the website. They're partnering with local stores, which is super cool for finding games. They're partnering with Start Playing, who we talked about before. Mm-hmm. And it lets new players book one of their D&D Dungeon Masters for just 99 cents yep. for a limited time. They've got that going right now, which is super cool. But the really big part is the new tools and mobile app. So they are fully revamping the mobile app, which is great because it sucks. To be completely honest, the mobile app is not good.
Yeah.
In fact, most of my players, even on their phone, just go to open up the website and use the website's mobile
version. That's what I do.
Because it's better than the app.
Yeah.
But they have a nice video of the new app, and at least it looks way more usable. It mm-hmm. looks way better designed. It looks like they started from scratch. And obviously, we've been talking about it some. They're doing a whole back-end redesign on D&D Beyond. So a lot of that is probably fueling this new app. They're going to be they're rebuilding the site search completely. They're doing new DM prep tools, including a scene manager, map pins, bookmarking, mapless DM tools for running encounters. Yeah. Thank God. This is...
We've been waiting for years. I mean,
this is what I want.
The encounter builder has been in beta for years.
I use it so often, but like it's the actual building part of it is worthless.
Yep.
The running part of it is really the only thing that kind of works anymore. So having that done is going to be huge. So the new app is built from the ground up. It's powered by a new rules engine developed over the past 2 years. And so an early version of it is planned for early 2027, and then more features are going to be added based on player feedback. But huge deal. Just new D&D Beyond site stuff and new D&D Beyond mobile app. Massive deal.
Yeah. And also, I have to totally brag that the D&D Beyond Looking for Group like promo video that they have, they show my friendly local game store. From a day that I was there playing, but I am not in
that's
the video.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Nevermore. And I looked like a couple times because as it passed over, like, okay, yeah, we recognize them. We knew that they were dressed like this. There's that person there. Yeah. So we were either in the back room during that whole day or during when they shot it, or we were just, you know, at a different table set across. So yeah, it was fun. All of a sudden I'm like, hey, that's Silver Dragon. So anyways, just had to brag about that.
Super cool. Super cool. They have a timeline of the stuff. We will link the big recap article in the show notes. And then they also talked about the actual play series is going to be continuing. They're going to head to Azeroth starting September 23rd. So they're going to play through some Azeroth stuff. So that's super fun. And then we'll travel back to the Forgotten Realms, Icewind Dale specifically, for some Faerun adventures with familiar faces. So they seem, at least right now, they're all in on their official D&D actual play series. It has been very fun. I've been able to catch some of it. Not fully caught up yet, but time. But it's very good. Like, it is a solid thing. All the little on-screen hints and tips and little visual aids are really nice. And it's a fun story.
Yeah.
Great players. So, and great DM.
Yep. And then last but not least, not tabletop specifically, but the Warlock video game that's going to be coming out. They gave a little, you know, spoiler of who Khatri's patron actually is, which I think is actually really interesting. It's going to be Tasha, as in Tasha's Hideous Laughter, Tasha's Cauldron of a bunch of potions and stuff, which that's not the full name. She's going to be voiced by Maggie Robertson, which is amazing. And I didn't realize that Trisha Helfler is actually going to be Khatri, which,
yeah.
I love her. She was number 6 in Battlestar Galactica and is absolutely fantastic. But yeah, I mean, that was a game I was already going to get anyway, just because it looked like a lot of fun. And now the idea of having a patron be Tasha and figuring out why she is doling out powers to someone and stuff is just really interesting to me. So I'm already really looking forward to it. We're going to get a gameplay reveal for that, for opening nights, from Gamescom, on August 25th. So if you're interested in
just a few weeks.
Warlock, gameplay is coming.
Yep. Very excited. Very excited. That was a lot. Then they dumped a ton and I like it. I really do. I'm sure, obviously, they're going to hold some surprises back. They didn't reveal, like, the full third-party, you know, D&D Beyond integration, because they do that quarterly now, which is super cool. But, yeah, they really seem to be making an effort for some cool stuff to be transparent and kind of show people what to expect. And I really like it. Really, really like it. Okay, so, moving on from the news. We have a community content shout out that I thought was really good, but we also wanted to kind of talk about it as a topic.
Yeah.
Like many things that we shout out, it's a Ginny D video.
Yay. That's all you need to know.
Ginny D is awesome. Yeah. The end. the video is called "There Are 6 Types of Dungeon Masters. Which Are You?" And it goes through, she goes through 6 different, like archetypes of DMs based on, originally an article on D&D Beyond that was published in March of 2022 by Riley Silverman. And so she kind of goes through and updates that a little bit and adds and tweaks some things. And we'll have that original article linked if you want to read it. But she basically came down, broke things down to like 6 types of DMs: vibe checker, rule sage, novelist, taxi driver, tinkerer, and immersionist. And as always, you will likely be more than one of them.
Yeah. In fact,
there are probably very few people who do not have elements of, you know, 2 or more.
You might be of those all categories. Of them.
Yeah, to an extent.
Because the thing is like some of these seem like they're diametrically opposed, but you can lean into both of them no matter what.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So just as a quick summary, before we kind of dive into it a little bit, Vibe Checker is basically prioritizing rule of cool and narrative momentum over strict mechanics and making decision based on what you feel is right for the moment and for the story.
Yeah.
Rule Sage emphasizes consistency and fairness by sticking closely to the rules as written, ensuring players feel that their accomplishments are earned. The Novelist focuses on crafting a cohesive long-form story with character arcs and emotional payoffs, effectively treating the campaign like a collaborative story or a collaborative novel. Mm-hmm. The Taxi Driver is a champion of player agency who presents more of a sandbox environment, letting the players choose their own path while the DM then reacts to those decisions.
Yeah.
The Tinkerer views the rule books as a toolkit and is frequently homebrewing new mechanics, new items, new subclasses, anything that basically tailors the game to their specific vision. Mm-hmm. Right. And then finally, the Immersionist leverages performance, voice acting, props, music, detailed description, miniatures, terrain, all those sorts of things to basically make the world feel tangible and heighten the player's sense of being present in the world.
Yeah. And the big thing is like we said, you could have your foot dipping into all of these, but there's no wrong answer on this either. That's one of the neat things.
They all have strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah, exactly. And depending on your table, some things work better than others. Depending on what players you have, some things work better than others. This is another reason why we always say, hey, communication or a session zero is probably a good thing, because if you're kind of laying out, you know, how the game is going to work and someone is, you know, very super strict by the rules, these numbers must always be the same. But you're a vibe checker who's like, hey, rule of cool is kind of what rules over here. That player might not have the best time at your table, or you might be frustrated with them constantly trying to pull up, hey, this is how this is supposed to work. That player over there can't do a triple front flip off of a building landing on his feet because it was cool. Like they rolled a 12. It's like, yeah, it was cool. So, yeah. So again, these aren't wrong. There's players, there are DMs, and you know, all of this mixes up together.
So, Ben, what would you say you are?
So,
based on these categories,
I mean, I will say this right there. I have definitely dipped my toe into all of these. I have done every single version of this. But looking at it, like, in all honesty, I think that I am kind of a taxi driving novelist, which, again, those two seem completely diametrically opposed. The novelist who has, you know, the big story of everything going on, where the taxi driver has, you know, kind of a, you know, sandbox approach. What I do personally is I have my big story going on in the world and it's going. And the taxi driver version of it is I, you know, throw out a bunch of stuff and I let the players kind of choose what they want to do in that world. Granted, right now in my campaign that I've been running, there's a big giant quest, but they also have the choice of where to go, what to do. And even to the point where there was a whole entire side mission that they went on instead of the main one, that I'm like, okay, cool. Because I'm not going to say no to them because they're helping me build that story together. It was just something I wasn't prepared for at that time. So that's why they were on a ship for 2 weeks, because I needed to build the place that they were going. But yeah, it still contributed to the larger story of what was going on. And even when they got to that new place, I tied it into, you know, again, the main narrative of everything, because that's what the world is this event, and they're helping me flesh it out and figure it out. Now, I'm going to also throw in, I've got some light rule sage in there because I do my best to try to be consistent with everything, because my personal belief is that it's more fair to my players that way. I'm all for rule of cool And I will definitely, you know, lean towards that at times. And especially when it comes to like, oh, that's really neat. You should definitely try it. You know, I will always push for that, but I'm not going to make it succeed just because it's a neat thing that happens, especially, you know, like if there's a low dice roll or something that, that goes with it, or say they're not proficient in acrobatics, but they do want to do that, you know, double front flip and land on a tight rope to go across from one building to another or something. I don't know, you know, some weird, crazy thing. Like, yeah, it would be really cool, but it's got to be backed up to be fair for everybody, because I am terrified of playing favorites because I've seen that in games, and it's not fun for the people who are not the favorite. But yeah, I think that, I mean, you've played in one of my games. Granted, it was a one shot, so it was very railroady, but I mean, does that kind of seem like, did I grab myself? Okay.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think that describes you pretty well. And like, okay, like you said, I think both of us have a little bit of all of these.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Obviously, you're going to have some you lean towards more. Like, me personally, I would probably consider myself a vibe checker immersionist with a bit of, with a helping of tinkerer as probably my biggest points.
Oh, I can tell you, you are 100% a tinkerer.
Yeah, and I mean, I definitely have a little bit of novelist in there as well.
Oh, definitely.
Just as the big campaign thing. Taxi driver, to an extent, but we usually end up having a main through line rather than just a here's the world, go somewhere.
Yeah.
Type thing. Those work. Those can work fine, especially for West Marches type things or whatever. I'm personally not as big of a fan of just a full on taxi driver.
Yeah.
Type world. That's just not my style. It's just not my, my preferred way to DM or play. That's probably like the least thing for me. Kind of same with Rules Sage. Obviously we play at the rules, but for me, if a rule is not fun or it's not working well, it's gone.
That's where that tinker comes in.
Or I change it. Yeah. I change it. We do things. I'm the person who has the like page and a half of here's the homebrew campaign doc. Like, here's the things that are different or changed, like being able to cast multiple leveled spells in the same turn.
Yep.
Like I do that. I allow for leveled spells to be cast as an action and as a bonus action.
Same.
Because you're still using your resources and it's usually a lot more fun when you do that. Sometimes there'll be side cases that you have to take care of here and there, but for the most part, it's worked well and the players love it. And they're using resources still. I honestly don't care. Like, you're expending the resource. Fine. For the longest time, the potion is a bonus action thing. Until it became real.
That was real. And now it's real, and now, even when you give it to someone else, I think.
Exactly. And now what we play is potion bonus action. But if you want to take an action to do it, you can, and you get the full effect automatically instead of having to roll. So there are times, it doesn't happen super often, but there are, have been times when the players have chosen to do that. And it makes sense. And I love having that as an option. Even if you don't, you know, use it that much. So yeah, that's, I think that's kind of where I am. And whatever you are as a DM will kind of inform your play styles and your players as well. Because I think she has another video on players, like what you are as a player.
Yeah. Too. I'm pretty sure she made one too.
That is very good. And you can kind of take both of those, the like, here's the types of players and here's the types of DMs, and certain types of players will match up much more closely to certain types of DMs than others will, right? And so it's good to know what types of DM you are and what types of player you are, because then you can have that help inform games you run or games you join, or, you know, just at the very beginning, if you're DMing your session zero, you can confidently say, hey, I run my games like this.
Yes.
And so if anyone has a problem with that, let me know and we can try and figure it out, or it might not be the right table for you. Right. And it's the same as a player, knowing what types of games you like and knowing what your style is can help inform you when you are looking for a new game to make sure that the table you're going to will fit your play style. So, yeah, it's very important, very good to know. And it's also very good to know so that you can work on the other areas that you don't have as much strength in.
Mm-hmm.
Because all those things combined is a DM in various amounts in various ways.
Yes.
And so, yeah, things like, I want to be a better novelist. I want to work harder to build my story or to help the characters do their thing or to integrate their stories into the world type thing. And so all these are very good goals. And again, we're not going to like go through the video word by word. Highly recommend you watch it because she even offers a nice little, like, here's some pros and cons mm-hmm. about each. And it's not even necessarily cons. It's here's some things they do really well. And here's some things to watch out for.
Yeah.
If you're this type of DM.
Again, which is where you start dabbling in a lot of those different pools because, you know, where you're, you know, seeing some of those cons, like again, the novelist, if you don't or if you aren't careful, you can totally railroad, you know, taking away player agency and things like that. That's when you throw in a bit of the taxi driver to give them that agency back while still having that, you know, big world to go in and stuff. Talking about wishing that you could, work on something. I want to be more of an immersionist, but the way that I want to do it is with like handouts and stuff like in person, but I don't play in person, so I can't do that as well. So with that, I stick to voices and, you know, stuff like that.
Well, yeah. And I think part of this can be just thinking about based on my situation, how can I be better in XYZ situation. So mm-hmm. like for you, I want to be a better immersionist, but I only play online. What can I do to help be a better immersionist if I only play online?
Yeah.
Well, like so you said, voices. Yeah, voices are a big one. Yeah, virtual maps of VTT, virtual tabletop, is another big thing that can help immerse or at least give people a good clear picture. Music. Mm-hmm. Having music through either a Discord bot like Kenku FM or through your virtual tabletop that allows you to, you know, put music in. All those things can help up that level depending on what you're doing. If you're in person, like Ben said, handouts, great way to bump up the immersionist.
Yeah. Literal right? Puzzles.
Minis and terrain. Yeah, puzzles. Yeah, so it's a lot of different things that you can think of, like, how can I make this better based on the type of game that I run?
Yeah.
So, highly recommend a watch. Would love to hear your feedback on it and what type of DM you are. Throw it in our Discord. We'd love to have the conversation. It's a great conversation to have. Because you can learn from other people who have strengths in areas that you do not.
Yep.
So very, very collaborative for sure.
Yeah. Great topic. I'm so glad that she released that video and we could talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I really liked it. And just kind of thinking through as she was talking, okay, is this me? Oh, I'm like, yeah, that sounds like
me. I feel a little bit of that. Yeah. Really me. I get a little bit of that too. Well, that's really me too. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Ginny D continues to be a fount of wonderful content.
Yes.
So with that, I think that will bring our episode to a close. Lots of really fun announcements, wonderful, community shout out and, just conversation around DM types and styles of play. So yeah, there's going to be a lot of really cool stuff coming. I'm excited to hear about more announcements. I'm excited that we got a big backlog of topics that we want to talk about, mm-hmm. which is super awesome. So I can't wait to dig into those. And Ben, we've got some really cool events coming up. I mean, I just talked about mine that I'm going to get to talk about next episode that we do from this big old D&D epic, but you've got something coming up too that you're going to be able to talk about next time, right?
Yeah. At my local game store, they're doing their D&D game day again. And this one is going to be going towards Extra Life. So, you know, the charity Extra Life. And Nevermore and I are set for two games for the day. So we're going to be in the midday and then evening games. And I'm looking forward to it. I know off the top of my head, I don't fully remember all of them. I know one of them is takes place in Neverland and Peter Pan left. And basically we're lost boys and we've got to kind of right some wrongs and I guess fight pirates or something. So that'll be cool. I don't remember what the other game is, but either way, excited for it. So it'll be great.
Yeah, and that's in person.
Yes, it will be in person.
Get your in-person fix.
Yeah, I love rolling dice in person. It's the best.
It gives you good reason to break out that massive dice collection.
Yeah, I ended up buying one of those Laura Bailey's dice bags, and I filled it up a lot.
I filled it up a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, so really, really exciting. Can't wait to talk about some of that stuff next week as we both have these fun, friendly local game store events. And hey, you can, again, go to Start Playing Games, go to D&D Beyond, because they are hooking up with a ton of different local game stores and listing their event calendars and mm-hmm. stuff. So if you want to find a D&D game for long term, or a West Marches or a One Shot or even a Learn to Play, that is going to be a great resource going forward to find something in your area that has availability. So highly recommend you check that out.
Yes.
And with that, Ben, I think that'll be the end of our episode.
No, I want to talk about the One Shot that I was in.
Oh, you have the Yeah. That's my goodness.
Yeah, I gotta talk about that. No, it's okay.
Yeah, talk about it.
So, okay, one of my players ran it. So she was awesome. Since you know, I've really been out of sorts, haven't had the motivation and spoons to really, you know, throw a game together. But we ended up playing level 15 characters. So the whole concept is that we are part of an adventuring guild, and part of the charter of that is that you get free room and board, food, everything. As long as if they call you for a world ending thing, you come. Otherwise you owe the money on your tap. So we're just like, okay, cool. That's a good deal. So we got called into this guild, and you know, when we walk in, everybody's frantic, everything's going on and stuff. So we're like, oh, you know, this is kind of crazy. So of course, you know, we're all just meeting, haven't ever adventured together or anything. And so the person who came to brief us on our mission was very frazzled, but they said, okay, so this low level group of adventurers, they found a deck of many things and they got a wish card. And they wished to have defeated the most powerful dragon in the area or in the land. Turns out they didn't specify evil dragon. So the silver dragon that is the benefactor of this guild happens to be the most powerful dragon of the land. So that dragon died. But the thing is their hoard wasn't gold, wasn't treasure. It was prisoners that this guild had brought to justice. So basically, you know, Silver Dragon, all about reform, you know, having people, you know, do better and everything, had just tons and tons of all these different prisoners and everything. So they all escaped once this dragon just dropped dead. And I'm like, that is a really cool, fun concept of what happened. So, of course, we didn't deal with those low-level adventurers because, you know, they're the ones who caused this entire issue in the first place. But a bunch of space clowns had taken a shadow egg or a shadow dragon egg and were going to go sell it to some drow. And we, our job was to kind of track them down. So we ended up going into like a, you know, kind of low level of the Underdark, and these drow were performing a ritual to hatch the egg so that as long as whoever's standing in this specific spot is the person who is there when the dragon, you know, when the dragon hatches, it will be beholden to them and, you know, evil stuff. So we get down there and we start fighting and everything. I'm playing as a Flamekin monk. I was level 15. I was the way of the elements or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm looking at this ritual and like, one of the very first things that I do is, well, first of all, with the way of the elements, I can take someone and run with them for Step of the Wind to kind of move them in and out of position and everything like that. So basically I ran a sorcerer in. They banished four of the people who were there, and then I was able to run them into cover. And then on my first like official turn, I used my what is it? It's just my cantrip Elementalism. And I just drew lines through the sand, through the pattern of the spell, which collapsed the spell right away, which I'm like, yay, go cantrips, which is awesome. So then the BBEG dropped like a big protection, like damage barrier around the egg. So we couldn't go and get it and everything. And long story short, being a Path of the Elements or whatever it's called monk is really OP because, when you're using your like elemental powers, or elemental attunement, my reach is an extra 10 feet. So extra 10 feet. So 15 foot range. Every time you do an unarmed strike, when you're dealing with either acid, cold, fire, lightning, or thunder damage, you can force 10 feet of movement either to you or away from you if the target fails a strength saving throw. So basically I was pushing people into the barrier, you know, causing damage, but I'm a monk, so I get two attacks. So I would pull them back out. And then for my bonus action, flurry of blows, push them back in, pull them back out. And then I get three of them because I'm level 15, push them back in. So I just, you know, misted someone on one turn. I'm just in, out, in, out, in, out. And this barrier is doing all this damage. So then I start doing it to the BBEG. I get banished. They take enough damage. I come back. And then once it's my turn again, same deal. They're just in and out and just die. And it was fantastic. I felt so much more powerful than almost any other character I've ever done by being able to use the environment to my, to my advantage and all that. So it was like a really clever story. All of us had a ton of fun, and overall it was really great. So yeah, I had a lot of fun doing it.
That's super cool. I love high level play.
It's so fun. High level play it's just awesome.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
So much fun. Very cool. Very, very cool. I can't wait to play upcoming games.
Yeah, definitely.
It's going to be good.
I'm in the same boat.
I have a lot more fun stories to tell. But anyways, thank you, Ben, for sharing that. It sounds like a ton of fun.
It was very, absolutely like, a ton of fun. I'm still impressed with they hoarded prisoners. I just think that's just, it was fun. It was a really cool kind of catch and twist to it.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. It's amazing. Okay. Well, with that super cool story, we will bring the episode to a close. But of course, before we go, Ben, why don't you tell everyone where we can be reached?
You bet. So the best place that you can reach us is actually through our Discord server. We are there. We read it. We talk to people. It's a lot of fun. And you can find a link to that server on dndiscussions.com. And what's even better about dndiscussions.com, it has every single episode that we've ever done. And it also has links to our social media accounts. So Blue Sky, if you're looking for the show, it's at dndiscussions. If you're looking for Ryan, it's at tbkzord. If you're looking for me, it's at Ben Bumhoffer. But on top of that, too, if you don't want to do anything over Blue Sky, if you don't want to do anything, you know, reach out over Discord, you know, you want to keep something, you know, kind of, you know, I don't know, you're a little shy, you can always email us. Send those to dndiscussions@gmail.com. We'd love to hear about your stories, love to hear everything that's going on in your games. And even more so, we want to know what kind of DM you are and like what you prefer. Like, what do you like to play in? Yeah, dndiscussions.com is everything you need in order to find us. The only thing it doesn't have is actually Plus 5 to Hit, which is an actual play podcast that I'm part of. Got a barbarian, having a lot of fun with him. So definitely check out Plus 5 to Hit. New episode just dropped today, which will be yesterday from the day that we release this. So, you know, take a listen. But this show, D&D Discussions, it's always a blast. Ryan, thank you so much for hopping in, talking about everything, and also just completely geeking out, especially about the World of Warcraft stuff, which I have stopped playing that game for quite a while. But
same. But we both played for a very long
time. Yeah, and I'm really excited for this expansion. So, yeah, that'll be fun. And anyways, everybody listening, thank you so much for all of your support. Thank you for listening. And until next time, everybody, roll high and be good to each other.
Take care, and we'll see you soon.